If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 1. We'll pick up where we left off last week in a continuation of, we're not doing a complete expositional study of the book of Luke, but we are going to pick it up in verse 26. A lot of things can overwhelm us, correct? A lot of people go through this period in their life and they're just overwhelmed with different things that come their way. Grief is one that causes us a large amount of being overwhelmed, being able to overcome grief, guilt, past sins in our lives, situations that have gone on. Guilt heaps up being overwhelmed, so to speak. Grudges are being grudged, begrudging someone. You can have that as part of a thing that overwhelms us. Worrying about what's going to happen, worrying about what's going to happen in the future, worrying about the stock market. Worrying about whether the country's on the right track or our football team's going to win or whatever it might be. We can have all kinds of things that kind of overwhelm us. And every one of us in this room go through a period of time where we feel overwhelmed. Responsibilities. I was sitting with a young couple this week, Deb and I were, and we're beginning to do a little journey and a mentorship with this couple, and they're I had performed their wedding, and they're with newborn child now, and they felt a bit overwhelmed. You know, you remember when you had that newborn child that came in, and all of a sudden this creature is here and can't do anything for themselves, and you have to do everything, and you're overwhelmed with that. And that was one of the things they talked about, the sheer responsibility that they have to bring that child up in the admonition of the Lord and help them in their journey. Circumstances that come our way. We didn't cause it. It came our way. Transitioned in life, situations, loss of loved one. Lots of things can cause us to be overwhelmed. When I was studying for this series over the last several weeks, I ran through this passage and then I hit 26 through verse 30 that we'll read today, and I noticed something in there, and maybe you'll grab this as well as we unpack this verse of scripture, verses of scripture, that Mary was overwhelmed. You say, well, this is interesting that you would bring a Christmas message in February. Well, a Christmas message is like an Easter message. It's every day of our life. Amen? You see, we celebrate the birth of our Lord every day. We celebrate the resurrection of our Lord every day of our lives. As Christ followers, we do. And so why not take a moment in February and discuss this and talk about this? Because I believe in this text today, you will see that Mary, while she was with child, she felt a bit overwhelmed. Look with me in verse 26 through verse 30. I'm reading the New American Standard Version of God's Word. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled. Now, I don't know what translation you're reading from, but in the New American Standard says she was greatly troubled. The New Century Version translated it says this, confused and disturbed. Now, you understand that is very important that we understand that Mary, the mother of Christ, was disturbed. She was confused. She was greatly troubled. And this statement kept pondering what kind of situation, salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." Now, I just started thinking about that phrase this morning. Do not be afraid. Have no fear. Do not fear. 365 times it appears in verses throughout scripture. Have no fear. Do not fear. Have no fear. Do not be afraid. Those phrases appear some 365 times. It's as if God said one for every day of the year that we should not fear, and the angel declared, do not fear, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Let's pray. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight today. God, I pray as we unpack this passage of scripture today and we look at a few principles for our consideration today, Lord, I pray that it becomes more alive to us today. The word becomes more prevalent to us today and that we walk away from this place more encouraged today, even though we know that there will be other times that we'll feel overwhelmed by the circumstances or the responsibilities or whatever might take place in our lives. We can be encouraged that we can overcome because greater is he that is in us and as Christ followers than he that is in the world. The wicked one may come against us, Lord Jesus, but you are the power that is indwelled in our life, the power of the Holy Spirit that is indwelled in our lives helps us overcome the overwhelmness in our lives. And Lord, I pray as we look at these verses, I pray that you speak precisely to us and we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the power for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. I started thinking about Mary. Now, Mary was about 13 to 14 years old and she was betrothed, meaning she was engaged to Joseph. You know the story if you've been around church any length of time and you were kind of refreshing, reminding ourselves of what we just celebrated back in December. She was betrothed to Joseph, a righteous man. You remember in Mark's gospel and in Matthew's gospel as well. It tells us he was a righteous man and he did not want to disgrace her. So he was secretly trying to protect her. And so he was a good man. But all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord comes to Mary and says, by the way, you are pregnant. And by the way, not only are you a virgin and you're pregnant, but you're not only just pregnant, you're pregnant with God. Now, I can tell you that one statement right there would possibly most moms would go, what? Are you kidding me? I'm pregnant, but I'm a virgin. I've not had sex with a man. I've not slept with anyone. We've not consummated the marriage bed, yet I am pregnant. And now you're telling me not only am I pregnant, but I'm impregnated with God himself, the Messiah. That's who I am. So obviously, Mary must have been a bit overwhelmed, was she not? You see, they in biblical days, they did a lot of prearranged marriages. They were selected. So Joseph was selected for Mary. And I find that interesting that we don't carry that on. In some circles, in some environments, in some cultures, that some of that still happens. And so I'm thinking about my son being selected to marry Taylor. I'm not altogether certain had Taylor not convinced her parents that he was the one that he would have been selected for him, for her. Maybe, I don't know. I know that I would have selected Taylor for Seth, whether he liked her or not, because we love her deeply, right? She's raised the bar in his lifestyle for sure. And so he was selected. They were arranged to be married. So how would you react? How would you react if you had this news dropped in your lap? How would you react if you'd have found out that you were pregnant with child, and not only with child, but you were impregnated by the Holy Spirit of God? You were carrying the Christ, the Messiah. How would you respond? So Mary, I imagine, would start responding, what in the world am I going to do? How can I explain this? How am I going to go to Joseph? Oh, by the way, Joseph, we are engaged to be married. And by the way, if you notice, it's not because I'm eating a lot of tacos lately. It's because I'm getting larger because I'm with child. What can you imagine that she would be a bit overwhelmed to think she has to share this with him? You see, how does this happen? What is my mom and my dad going to think? What about the world going to think? The implications are going on in her mind, and Joseph was probably going to leave me, and I'm disgraced, and people will doubt me, and they will doubt that God is in me, and the community is going to disgrace me, and my life is total sham. It's totally messed up. Obviously, she was overwhelmed. She was greatly troubled, or she was confused and disturbed. That is a better word, is overwhelmed. She was completely overwhelmed. I started thinking about this and jotted some questions down, the criticisms that she might, what is everyone going to think? The criticisms that she might face, the fear of the supernatural. Exactly how is this going to happen inside my body? There's the fear of inadequacy. I'm going to be the mother to the Son of God, the mother of the Son of God. How inadequate do I feel about that? There's the fear of change. What is this going to do to my life? My life is never going to be the same. Moms in the room, when you had that child, was your life ever the same as it was before when you were footloose and fancy free? No, it changes our complete lifestyle. And so she was a bit overwhelmed. She was completely overwhelmed. What do you do when you become overwhelmed? Well, you do what Mary did. You do opposite of what the world would tell you to do. When you're overwhelmed with debt, when you're overwhelmed with fatigue, when you're overwhelmed with stress, when you're overwhelmed with the responsibilities of everyday life, maybe you're still running a business, maybe you're looking at retirement and you've looked at your retirement and it's not near enough than what you thought you were going to have when you were going to retire. How is this going to happen? I'm looking at Social Security that I've invested in all these years and it's not there. It's not enough. How is it going to happen? And you're overwhelmed. You become stressful. Mary, you're going to be blessed. That's what happened. She realized that even in the overwhelmness in her life, that the angel said, don't fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid, Mary. You are going to be blessed. So when you feel overwhelmed, just do what Mary did. Just relax. Just do what Mary did. I want to give you three principles and several verses of scripture, and I'm going to kind of help us understand what can help us when we feel overwhelmed, what to do when that happens. At points, every point in our lives, we can see at some point in time, we will go through deep, deep times of feeling overwhelmed, deep times of feeling stressed. There are some steps for us to take. The world would say, suck it up and just go on with it. But that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible tells us that first of all, if we are overwhelmed, what do? We let go of our need to control the situation. You see, a lot of people in this room, including me, and probably I am probably the chief sinner of this than all, because I have a tendency, if I am not in control, then I don't want to be a part of it. I heard some amens to that. Thank you very much. Thank you, Brother Olin, back there waving at me saying, yes, you are that guy. I just like being in charge. I like it. It's a natural person in my life. But sometimes in some things, I just need to let go and let God have complete control of the situation. Typically, the more control that I have, the more control we feel, the more overwhelmed we feel, and the more we try to redouble our efforts, we try to control it more, we try to hyper-control it more, we try to micromanage more, we try to use force and willpower to overcome it, and the more we do that, the more uncontrolled it becomes. Folks, let me tell you something. We need to relax. And we just need to enjoy the journey that God has us on. God's not sitting up in heaven and wringing his hands and saying, oh my goodness gracious, I forgot that South Fulton County is going to be what it is today than it was 25 years ago. He's not sitting there wringing his hands and saying, I forgot that First Baptist Fairman is where it's sitting today. He's not overcome by that. He's not worried about that. Let us let him have control of the situation. Let him raise up the next generation of church people in this community. Amen. We must do our part to lift high the banner of Christ and preach the inerrant, infallible word of God and equip the saints to do the work of ministry and reach this community for the cause of Christ and let God have complete control. You see, Mary could have taken things into her own hands, but she didn't. She relaxed. Mary said, let go and let God have control. Verse 34 and verse 37, the angel said, but how can I have a baby? The Century Version says, I'm a virgin. The angel said, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Folks, let me tell you something. I think we are on the edge as a congregation of being something phenomenally special in the life of church work. We can be a church like we've never been before. We can continue. And there's rumblings and makings of it to reach the next generation. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of a congregation that is known, that says God's in control, not man in control. Because every time we take control, every time we squeeze the rope too tight, what happens? We are out of control. But when God is in control, we can just blame all that happens on him. Amen? You know, we used to have a saying around our church when I was growing up at my church at Brook Hills early days when things were growing. We were growing leaps and bounds. We were gaining members by hundreds a week, literally. In the first 10 years of our church, we grew. It was staggering how fast we were growing. It was just amazing what God was doing in the life of our church. And we had a phenomenal preacher. We had a great music program. We had a great children's program, a great youth ministry program. But what we decided to do is that we're going to let Jesus be in complete control. And we're just going to get out of the way. We're going to be motivated and operated and led by him. And when we said we're going to take our hands off of it, we're going to let him have complete control. Oh, guess what happened? The church exploded because it wasn't our church, it became his church. We need to let God have control. When we let God have control, he gets all the glory. Mary's response is, I'm the Lord's servant. Look what it says in verse 38. I'm the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. Mary, everything you have said will come true. He said, I'm the Lord's servant. I'm going to let you have complete control. Parents, sometimes we want to control our kids, do we not? We want to control them and we let them have the last. We're going to give them the last. We're always going to have the last word, right? We tried that with Seth. We always felt like we had the last word, and we did. He always got a word in on the way out, but we always had the last word. He would storm up the stairs, and just before he got up to the top of the stairs, I would say, don't say another word or you are in for it, son. And he'd say, okay, slam the door. And I said, he said another word, now I've got to do it. Right? We want to control everything. I know that some believe in the art of parenting by doing the timeout method. I'm going to put my kids in timeout. Timeout didn't work at our house. A good whacking worked a lot better than timeout. And I'm talking about a good spanking, not hitting them in the face or anything like that. I'm talking about lighting them up. I did not spare the rod, nor did we have a spoiled child in our home. I believe if we ought to take the Board of Education out of the building and put it back in the teacher's hands, we would have less trouble on school campus. Can I get an amen to that? Folks, let me tell you something. We don't need to control with saying, now, Johnny, sit over here and time out. Whack his bottom and be done with it. Because if you light him up enough, he's going to straighten up enough. Amen? It's not going to always be perfect, but at least you gets it out of your system. Amen? Makes you feel a whole lot better. Amen? So, folks, let me tell you something. Mary said, I am not in control of this situation. I did not have it happen. I did not cause this to happen. Only God caused it to happen. If we believe in God, the sovereign God of the universe, let me tell you something, folks. If we'll take our hands off of this thing called First Baptist Fairburn and let it work, God will get all the glory and we will just enjoy the journey. Let go of my need to control the situation. So much stress in our lives is because we try to control everything. We try to mismanage everything. We try to micromanage everything, control everything and everything about the universe we want to control. The more times we try to control it, the more uncontrolled we become in our own personal lives. But Mary said, but how does that happen? Just let it happen. Let it happen. The secret to all of this is letting us let go and let God have complete control. Folks, I'm telling you, we got some control freaks in our midst. Amen? I have to look in the mirror every now and then and say, I'm a control freak. I know it. I said that to Deb yesterday when I was going over my notes. She came downstairs. I said, I just want you to know I'm a control freak. She said, I know where we're going to eat. She didn't say, that's okay, baby. That's going to be a great point, great principle for you to share with those folks over there. They're going to be shocked about it. She said, I know. Where are we going to eat? She already knew it. Folks, let me tell you something. Some of us are in control. We feel like we've got to be in charge of everything. And folks, let me tell you, sometimes we mess it up. We need to let God have control of the situation. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Psalms 138, verse 8, the Lord will work out His plans for my life. God's plan is always bigger than our plan. God's plan sometimes is more painful than our plan. No pain, no gain. Folks, let me tell you something. The Atlanta Falcons went through some pain to get where they are today. So did the New England Patriots. We just pray that the New England Patriots are in a whole lot more pain today. Amen. Amen. I mean a whole lot of pain today because I'm telling you, I want to see Atlanta burn again. It's burnt once before. We want to see it burn again. After it happens, we're going to have some fun, man. We're going to see the Atlanta Falcons finally get all the time and all the work that they went through. You see, they're going to let go and let the plan work today. God's plan is bigger than your plan. God's plan is often more painful than our plan. And God's plan is always better than our plan. Folks, let me tell you something. Let go and let God have control of the situation. Second principle for you to consider today is that we need to let others help us out. We need to let others help us out. Mary didn't waste a minute, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She got up and she traveled to a town of Judea, and the hill country, straight to Zechariah's house and to greet Elizabeth. You're better off. You're better off when you let other people help you. We all need people to come alongside us. When we let God have control, we will naturally need someone to come alongside us and help us. That is opposite of what we tend to do. It's opposite of what the world tells us to do. We want to take care of the situation completely by ourselves. We want to operate solo by ourselves. But folks, when iron is sharpening iron, when people are working in tandem together, folks, we see God get all the glory for that. Church, we need to one another. We need to come alongside each other. The reason I came back after our prayer time a moment ago and bragged on you as a congregation, because most of us in this room will not step foot on the mission field of where we gave money to. But every person that comes to faith in Christ, and every person that is encouraged along the way, and every ministry opportunity that missionary receives, the dollars that you gave toward that mission project called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering, is as if you came alongside them to do the work. That's not to mention that we shouldn't go. I want to tell you right now, folks, we need to be on the go. We need to be on the go all the time, especially those of you that got expendable income. Some of you are sitting around on your blessed wellness, and you need to get up and you need to use your wealth to go to the ends of the earth. I challenge you to come alongside those missionaries around the world. We need to let others help, and we need to be help to others. We need people. Mary did. Verse 39, look what she says in verse 39. Now at that time, Mary rose and went in haste to the hill country and entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. She immediately said, I need someone to walk in journey with me. That is the whole idea behind the disciples' path. The disciples' path is for us to walk together in journey together. Share each other's trouble, share each other's problems, and so obey our Lord's commands. We need strong believers investing in others' lives. We need older and wiser people to come alongside and work with younger members of the body of Christ. I know a church down in South Alabama. It's not a large church. It's not a mega church. It's not even a 1,000-member church. But this church, it's amazing what God is doing in the life of that church. A young adult, my Bible study class, started the ball rolling. And they started investing back into some young 20-somethings and started pouring life into some young 20-somethings. And young 20-somethings says, well, we're going to take it another step. Ben, they said, what we're going to do is that we're going to invest in some college students that we're on our campus and that go to church with us, and we're going to be a part of that. And then they took it one other step. The ones who were stayed behind and not moved on to college, they were investing in the high school students. And now the high school students are invested in the middle school students. And the middle school students are saying, well, can we pour life into our elementary kids? Folks, let me tell you something. That is iron sharp. Sharpening iron. That is a perfect portrait of the disciples' path, pouring life. We need our older generation. We don't want to set you aside. We need you to come alongside us so that we can equip the saints for the next generation of church life. Folks, we need to let God have control of the situation. We need to let go of it. We need to let others help us out. And finally, third, we need to give God your strength. We need to let God give you his strength. You are blessed, verse 45, for believing that the Lord would keep his promise. Isaiah 43, verse 2 says, when you pass through deep waters, I will be with you. Your troubles will not overwhelm you. When you pass through fire, you will not be burned. The hard trials that come will not hurt you. Some of us know God will give us that strength, but some of us won't let him have control to give us that strength. We act like it depends completely on us. If it's up to be, it's up to me. Some of us have that mentality. God help those who help themselves. Some of us point our fingers at that. He only helps those who help themselves. Folks, sometimes some people need some encouragement along the way. Come alongside them and then watch God work in their life. Watch God do the strengthening in their personal life. I did a quick research through Scripture this week. There's over 7,000 promises in the Word of God. 7,000. 7,000 declarations of promises from God's word. Folks, there's promises for each and every one of us. That gave her strength. You are blessed for believing that the Lord would keep his promise. On our own strength, we may drown when the floods come. On our own strength, we may burn up. But with God's strength, we can overcome, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Where do you find your strength? First of all, you find your strength by praising and giving God for all his goodness. Mary responded, oh, how I praise the Lord, how I rejoice in God, my Savior. She gave God all the glory. Here, a woman who had been disgraced, immorality would have had her stoned, but she gave God the glory, because she was impregnated by the Holy Spirit and had those who came alongside her to encourage her. You find strength when you by praising God for his goodness. Secondly, you find strength by thinking about God's word. By thinking about God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse 19, Mary quietly treasured, or one translation says she pondered these things in her heart. and thought about them often. Folks, let me tell you something. There's nothing better than the Word of God. You've heard me say it from this pulpit since day one. The Word of God is a threefold purpose book. It is a comfort blanket in time of need. It is a weapon of mass destruction. It can ward off the evil one. Hide the Word of God in your heart and you will not sin against him. It is a weapon to ward off the evil one. But the Word of God is a roadmap for daily living. Church, I tell you, nothing helps us gain and understand and receive his strength greater than praising him and spending time in his word. I want you to turn with me. Maybe it's in your bulletin. I don't know, but if it is on the screen, oh yeah, it is. Micah 1 verse 7, the New American Standard Version. It says, "But for me, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. I will wait for the Lord, for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." My God will hear me. When you're spending adequate time in the Word of God, when you're spending adequate time, you are going to go through periods of feeling overwhelmed. But to overcome, you must give Him praise. You must ponder His Word in your heart like Mary did. You must let God have complete control of the situation and surround yourself with other brothers and sisters that will encourage you, spur you on in the faith, and let God fill you constantly with His strength.